Thank you, Max, for leading us in that very uplifting, encouraging hymn titled Blessed Assurance. What a beautiful hymn. What an encouraging hymn. And when you think about blessed assurance, it can simply be defined as a Christian's confidence in their salvation. As Steve just read for us there from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, that's exactly what John was telling those Christians when he was writing to them, wasn't it? He was telling them that they can have confidence in their salvation. He was telling them that the things that I have written were written so that you may know that you have eternal life. I certainly appreciate Doug's prayer a few moments ago. And if you notice in Doug's prayer, Doug mentioned his thanks for all our many blessings which God so graciously bestows upon us. And one of those blessings that we have as Christians, one of those spiritual blessings that I think sometimes often gets overlooked, is that blessing assurance. Too many times I think we take for granted that blessed assurance that we as children of God have. That confidence that we have of knowing that we can have and obtain and that we will obtain eternal life. And as we've already mentioned here this evening, a faithful child of God does have the assurance that they will spend eternity in heaven. So with that encouraging thought in mind this evening, let's take some time to explore some passages that denote blessed assurance. And I want us to begin by noticing the words of the inspired Apostle Paul found there in Philippians chapter 1. We learn here in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, about Paul's blessed assurance. And here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul is expressing his blessed assurance here, isn't he? He acknowledges the fact that for him to die is gain. He acknowledges the fact that he's hard pressed between continuing to live in the flesh upon this earth or to die, and he says, and be with Christ, which is far better. You see, Paul had blessed assurance. And it is because of that we learn from this text, Paul wasn't afraid to die and to leave this earth, was he? He wasn't afraid to die and to depart from this earth, because he belonged to Christ. And he had that blessed assurance of someday being forever with the Lord in heaven. We go on to see there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, where Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, informed Christians that their citizenship is in heaven. And I want us to notice these words of the inspired apostle beginning in verse number 20 of Philippians chapter 3. Paul penned, writing to Christians, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Think about that. That's blessed assurance that each and every Christian can have. Because this is true of all sincere Christians. All Christians will someday have their citizenship in heaven. And all Christians who remain faithful until death can have the blessed assurance of someday forever dwelling in heaven. That's blessed assurance, isn't it? We also go on to learn about Paul's confidence in his salvation there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And notice what Paul confidently wrote here. He wrote, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he, that being Jesus the Christ, is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Simply put, Paul trusted in the Lord Jesus, didn't he? And he confidently knew that he would not suffer him to be lost. Paul had confidence in that. He knew that the Lord would not suffer him to be lost. Paul had trust and confidence in that. And when we think about that, a man has nothing of higher value to entrust than that of his soul. And there is no other act of confidence like that in which one who can trust the keeping of his soul to the Son of God. Paul did that, didn't he? Paul entrusted the keeping of his soul to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. He believed and then persuaded that he, that being Christ, was able to keep what he had committed to him until that day. He had confidence, blessed assurance. We go on to learn more about Paul's blessed assurance there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice these confident words of the apostle beginning there in verse number 7. There Paul, knowing that his physical life on this earth was about to come to an end, penned these words: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will also give to me on that day. Now watch this. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Catch that? You see, again, Paul's expressing his confidence in his salvation here, isn't he? He acknowledges the fact that he fought the good fight of faith. He kept the faith. He finished the race. And he acknowledges that because of that, there is going to be laid up for him the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will give to him on that day of judgment. But Paul didn't stop there, did he? Paul also informed that crown of righteousness was not only laid up for him on that day of judgment, but it was also going to be available and laid up for all those who have loved the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's blessed assurance, brethren. Blessed assurance that you and I can have as children of God, knowing that if we fight that good fight of faith, if we keep the faith and we finish that race, that you and I too will someday have that crown of righteousness given to us upon that day of judgment. It's blessed assurance. And it's important that we recognize the need to keep on keeping on. It's important that we recognize the need to run that race that we run with endurance and to not lose confidence in our reward, which has great reward. The inspired Hebrew writer instructs Christians not to be one who cast away their confidence, which has great reward, there in Hebrews chapter 10. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 10. Here we see the Hebrews writer urgent plea with these Christians in the first century to keep on keeping on. We see the Hebrews writer plea for them to have blessed assurance that their abiding faith will result in the saving of the soul. And I want us to notice this, beginning here in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse number 35. After the Hebrews writer instructed those early Christians to live by faith, he goes on to say in verse number 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. He says in verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." He says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Now pay attention to verse 39. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." You see that? What the Hebrews writer was simply telling those early Christians was, no matter what happens, don't lose faith. Keep on pressing on. Don't cast away your confidence, knowing that it has great reward, knowing that those of us who believe, it will result to the saving of the soul. That's blessed assurance. And we too need to be reminded of the need to keep on keeping on, knowing that we have the blessed assurance of the saving of our souls by doing so. But we also see Peter informing us of blessed assurance. We learn about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now I want you to notice these words of Peter beginning here in verse number 3. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I want you to take a moment and think about those words of Peter for a moment. Here, as we see in verse 3, Peter begins by giving God the Father praise for his mercy that he has granted towards us. Peter praises God the Father for his mercy. We go on to see that Peter informs that he, that being God the Father, has begotten us again to a living hope. And he tells us that living hope that we have as Christians was made certain by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's because of that living hope, that blessed assurance, that it assures us of a home reserved in heaven. It's blessed assurance, isn't it? And I want us to think about this home in heaven that's reserved for God's faithful. I want us to think about that it is an inheritance like none other. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that will never fade away. It's an inheritance that has been promised to all who remain faithful to the Lord. And Peter goes on to tell them that in this blessed assurance, you greatly rejoice. There in verse 6, he tells us, in this, he says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Think about that, brethren. There's going to be some times upon this earth that's going to be difficult. There's going to be some times that's going to come along that we're going to experience that are not going to be pleasant. They're going to be challenging. But it's during those times that we need to be reminded of this blessed assurance that we have as children of God. We need to be reminded and greatly rejoice in that blessed assurance of having a home reserved for us in heaven. And use that as motivation to persevere and to keep on keeping on when those challenging times arise. But we also learn a blessed assurance there in 1 John chapter 2. Here in 1 John chapter 2, John begins with a warning in verse 15. And that warning John gives is, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in it, in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he says in verse number 17, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Think about that. You see, those who invest in this world and in worldly pleasures, all they're doing is pursuing a dead-end road. You aware of that? Those who love the world, those who invest in the world and in the things of this world and put them above God and His will, all they're doing is pursuing and going down a dead-end road. But we go on to learn here that those who diligently pursue the will of God will have the blessed assurance of enjoying eternity with God. Remember that, brethren. Don't fall trapped to the cares of this world and the pleasures of this life. But rather be one who submits yourself in obedience to the will of God, knowing that those who do the will of God abides forever. That is, they have that blessed assurance of someday enjoying eternity forever in the presence of God. But we also, as we talked about already this day, learn about blessed assurance there in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 13. And going back to that good reading Steve gave for us a few moments ago there from this passage, we learn here where John said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now I want you to think about something for a moment. Here, John, an inspired apostle, guided by the Holy Spirit, gave Christians the word that they may know that they have eternal life. Now, if one cannot know this, then the apostle wrote this in vain, didn't he? But we know that's not the case, because John, guided by the Holy Spirit, penned those words. Therefore, we know that those words are true. And it is because of that, my beloved brethren, that you and I can know that we have eternal life. We know and can know that if we submit our life in obedience to the Lord and His will, and if we remain faithful unto Him, that we will someday receive that crown of life. And that takes us to the next point in regard to blessed assurance. And that is the promise of the crown of life from Jesus the Christ to those who are faithful unto death. As good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there in Revelation chapter 2. We're familiar with the church in Smyrna being persecuted in the first century, severely persecuted. And we're familiar with the words of the Lord to that church. Jesus Himself said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Jesus The Lord, He recognized that church was, and those people were under severe persecution. He recognized that some of them may even lose their head because of their faith. But He encouraged them to remain faithful unto death, even if it cost them their head, assuring them of the crown of life. Think about that. You see, even if we have to die for our faith, we must never surrender our faith, remembering that we have that blessed assurance of a crown of life. And that was promised by none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And in conclusion, when we think about blessed assurance, we'd be amiss not to mention the words of John as he declared there in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And there John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, declared, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." He says that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Think about that. Simply put, what John is saying is, blessed or happy are the dead who die in the Lord. Why? Well, they will be spiritually rewarded. They will have rest from their labors, and their acts of obedience will accompany them for all eternity. That's blessed assurance, isn't it, brethren? And you and I, as Christians, we can have that confidence. We can have that blessed assurance that we have talked about tonight. And all of these passages which we have explored this evening denote blessed assurance. So I now ask, what about you? Do you have this blessed assurance? Do you? If not, you can, if you will. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that blessed assurance. And may we all always remember, as we have already discussed here this evening, that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus has promised those who remain faithful unto death, the crown of life. Maybe there's one here this evening who's already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here tonight, to accept the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is selected.